This is another inspirational message from Bethany Assembly in Agawam, Massachusetts.
You know, as I was preparing this message, and I'm still kind of speaking on the strongholds that are affecting our country, is going to affect even us, the church. And I was thinking that there are many of us that are going to come to places of decisions. And some of you are at a crossroads right now where you have to make a decision. You know, and as I was thinking about that, I really felt like the Holy Spirit says, you know, you really have to be really still. You have to understand that God often whispers to us, that He will whisper in your ear. The Bible calls it a still small voice. But it's where He whispers in your ear. There's all kinds of things that are happening all around you. And the decisions that you're about to make are going to affect you, going to affect your family, going to affect the church. And so we really need to be tuned in to listen to the whisper, to listen to the still small voice. And He will tell us which way to go. He'll tell you not to turn to the left or to the right. He will guide us because the Holy Spirit promises to guide us. And so the encouragement for all of us today is that we need to be listening very still, very quietly to the still small voice of the Lord, because He really wants to guide us into the direction that's going to bring an effectiveness, not only to our life, but to our family life and to the church life. So we need to be keenly aware that in these last days there's going to be a lot of noise, and He wants us to hear Him and to listen to carefully to Him. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Antichrist today. Now, America is in a war right now. We are in a war against terrorism. There is a definite war that we're facing. We're searching for ways that we can destroy ISIS. We're looking everywhere we can to destroy the leadership within these terrorist groups. That's really what we're trying to do. But the church is also in a spiritual war. And there are evil commanders of darkness that must be taken down if we're going to secure our victory. We must do this. There are commanders that are the deadliest and the darkest, and they are far more deadly than those that will just simply kill the body, because they can kill the soul. So there are enemies out there to fight. I think I told you before, when we flew in Vietnam, we resupported the Koreans. The Koreans were mercenaries that America had. They were with us in the Vietnam War, and our unit resupplied them. And when we flew into their fire support bases, we were safe as could be. We could fly into our own fire support bases, and we would take small arms fire. We would take mortar rounds. They would fire at us. The enemy would shoot at us, but no one ever shot at us when we went in to resupply the Korean bases. The reason is the Korean bases took mortar rounds or small arm fire. If they took any kind of attack at all, they would put a circumference around the possibility of the fire zone, and they would go in there and they would kill everything. Men, women, children, dogs, cats, chickens, everything. Killed it all. So they never ever took fire, ever. They never fired at them at all. The enemy wouldn't dare fire. Now, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but we're in a war. We are in a war, and we need to be aggressive. And oftentimes, I find people that don't have an understanding of Christ Jesus don't understand God. They look at all the death and blood that's in the scripture, and they blame God as a killer. They want to blame Him as a murderer. But sin is so pervasive and destructive that God wants us to understand that there's only one remedy for it, and that's death. That's the only remedy for it. Even as Christians, we're encouraged we should die to self and live to Christ. So in the Old Testament, when they had a sin offering, the soul, which was represented by the interior organs, were offered on the altar, but the body of the animal, the blood was shed, and the body of the animal, whether it was a bull, if you were a rich person, or whether it was a lamb, if you were a medium income, or a pigeon, if you were a poor income, the blood was shed, but the body of the animal was taken outside of the camp, completely destroyed outside of the camp, because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot come in. This invasive quality of sin is so devastating that only death and the destruction of the flesh could eradicate it. That's why this body, no matter what we do, if the Lord tarries, this body is going to be destroyed. He'll give us a new body one day, or he will rapture us and get us a new body, but the body will not make it into heaven. It'll be a new body that makes it into heaven. See, God was very aggressive with sin because of the devastating effect that sin has upon us. And if you've ever been into a Korean church, and I'm using the Koreans as an example because they are very aggressive in spiritual warfare. They're very aggressive in prayer. They really battle in prayer. They rock back and forth, and they have to have a big gong in their church to stop them from praying. They start praying and somebody has to get up and make a huge noise and stop them from absolutely interceding and praying. They are aggressive warriors, spiritual warriors. In a spiritual war, how many of you know leaders are always under attack? Look what's happening to political leaders today. What's happening in the world today is going to happen towards the church also. We see this very spirit of Antichrist causing all kinds of destructive battles that are taking place in the world. In the realm of darkness, there are principalities, there are spiritual leaders that are of the deadliest order. Oftentimes, they are tolerated, or they deceive believers so long that the church is influenced by them, and we consider it normal. It's just the challenge that we face, but we're going to attack them. We are going to do battle. We're going to draw a line. We're going to do battle. Now, Bethany, and I found this out that when Bethany was raising funds for this building, they had a seed faith promise, and they gave away honorary deeds to this property. Now, I have no idea where everybody is spiritually that had a deed for this property. I have no idea where they are. But a deed is an instrument in writing that conveys the right of access to the property. So I don't know where everybody is spiritually at this particular time. And the problem is they may have given legal access to the power of the enemy to this property because we don't know where they are. When Job complained to the Lord, he says there's an increase in violence in the earth. There's a huge increase of violence that's taking place in the earth. And he said the first thing he mentions is that people began to remove landmarks and boundaries. And so violence increased. Problems increased. Sickness increased. Everything increased. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the four corners of this property and we're going to put stakes into the ground and we're going to take control over this property. This is God's house. And we don't want to take any chances. We're going to become very aggressive in our spiritual battle against evil. In Job chapter 24 and verse number 1 and 2, why does the Almighty not set times for judgment? Why must those who know him look in vain for such days? Men move boundary stones. The boundary stone is like a stake or a hedge or a deed. And if the wrong person has access to it, then all of a sudden Satan has access. You remember God had to put a hedge round about Job. And notice what Satan says in Job chapter 1 and verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the works of his hands so that flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But stretch out his hands and strike everything he has and he'll surely curse you to your face. So there's a hedge. And when the hedge and the boundary is open, it exposes danger to the individuals. And the psalmist says that people who are wise will take precautions so that the enemy doesn't have access. Because God allows evil into the world, even false spirits to enter in to expand until it comes in contact with a spiritual power that comes against it and says, enough is enough. So we plan on taking an aggressive action on this property. In Psalms 115 and verse number 16, the heaven, even the heavenlies are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. We inherit this earth. It's ours. And this place is God's. This is God's house. We want the angels to encamp around this property. That's what we want. We want believers in this house. We want God's healing power, his deliverance, and we serve notice on the enemy. He has no access to this house. No access at all. So we're going to put up stakes, we're going to revoke, we're going to cancel, we're going to declare that any foul spirit that claims any legal right at all to enter this property, that they are canceled in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see, in the last days, we're seeing what's happening in the earth. The church is the next target. What's happening in the earth, all of the riots that are taking place, all of these things that are attacks that are taking place on leaders, the principal demonic spirit in the last day is going to be the Antichrist. We especially are going to see this spirit manifested where Christianity is beginning to be persecuted. And this word Antichrist is only found really in the book of Revelation and the book of 2 John. That's the only place you find his name mentioned. But Antichrist means anything that is against Christ. It's a usurper. It's an enemy of Christ. And those who confess Christ are led by the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. We are people who are led by the Spirit of Christ. But those that contest his lordship are from the spirit of Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 23, but you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and all of you know the truth. And I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Now, we commonly look at Antichrist and we want to identify him with a man of lawlessness that we see revealed in the end times. He's also identified with the beast that is found in the book of Revelation. The Antichrist himself will be revealed in the last days, but the spirit of Antichrist already is in the world today and is willing to attack the church also. The Antichrist spirit is primarily a religious spirit. It comes against Christ and all of his purposes. This spirit uses lesser demons of fear and jealousy and unforgiveness and ambition. It uses whatever's necessary to keep the church from being united. He'll do whatever it can. Most of us like to think about the Antichrist, but we don't want to think about him as a spirit. We want to keep him as a person, not a spirit. We want to see him as somebody that hasn't been revealed yet, but he's going to be revealed in the end of days. But until he's revealed, we don't have to worry about him. We don't have to try to fight. We don't have to try to battle this spirit because we're waiting for him to be revealed. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3, and 4, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose. He will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, we know that that's what the person of the Antichrist is going to do. The scripture gives us a picture of him coming into the temple and claiming to be God. The scripture also tells us that what he will do when he's manifested, halfway through the tribulation period, he's going to set himself up in a rebuilt temple, proclaim to be God himself. If he does this when he's manifested in the flesh, if that's what he's going to do, then we certainly can see aspects of this same spirit that empowers him to have these same characteristics, proclaiming to be God. That is a religious spirit. The scripture reveals that the spirit of Antichrist has manifested itself from the very beginning. People influenced by this spirit, they come and they claim to be Christ himself. 1 John 2:18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it's the last hour. Now, John was writing to the first century, telling the church that even then, many people were coming, claiming to be Christ. The same thing is happening today. If you Google it, you'll find hundreds of people claiming to be Christ already, manifesting themselves. We cannot limit the Antichrist to just some man claiming to be Christ or someone that's going to be revealed in the future, because John warned the first century through the power of the Holy Spirit in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is a spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here. It's already in the world. It's a spirit that will not confess Jesus as God. It is a religious spirit that comes and rises up above the knowledge of God. It will not acknowledge Christ. You've often heard me say, when people come to the altar, and you heard me say, whoever acknowledges me before men, Jesus speaking, I will also acknowledge him before my Father which is in heaven. I have said that. This acknowledgement is not simply a prayer, though that's where the beginning often is when a person prayerfully acknowledges who Jesus Christ is. But acknowledging Christ is a manifestation of Christ actually being received into your life and working through your actions. It starts in your heart when you begin to walk to the altar, but then it continues to work, as you'll see in the second service, when people are baptized in water. And then it changes your attitude. It changes your actions. It gives you ability to love. It removes hate from your life. It reveals a commitment, and you begin to follow, even sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ, spending time with him. Notice the following description of the Antichrist in 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, but God, because God is love. This is how you recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is the acknowledgement that is accompanied by actions when you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and you make a trip to an altar or you get by beside your bed and pray. It's a first step, but then love begins to flow through your life because God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God truly is love. Any individual church that does not walk in love actually can be serving the Antichrist. We have to be a church that stands in love. Christians are known for their love, not for their theology. Jesus said you'll be known because of the love that you have one for another. The spirit of Antichrist hardens your heart, keeps people from acknowledging Jesus. The spirit of God is love. The spirit of God is forgiveness. The spirit of Antichrist will disguise itself, and it usually hides behind issues that divide. It hides behind things that will divide people because it doesn't want people to love one another. It's anti-love, anti-forgiveness, anti-reconciliation. It's spawned by this very spirit of Antichrist. And any thought that we harbor or any thought that we allow to remain in our minds that exalts itself above the ability of God to resolve the issue, it becomes a target for the Antichrist. He will use it as a hedge, and he will come in and try to divide us and conquer us. The Antichrist could use all kinds of fear, jealousy, even building decor, whatever he can to divide. I want to read this statement that the church board and myself, we came up when we evaluated the congregation. And the church board has evaluated the congregation's response to the remodeling of the main sanctuary and understands that the remodel is not critical to the spiritual health of the church, but there are some things that need to be addressed. Therefore, we've decided to postpone the remodeling of the sanctuary and simply refresh the sanctuary when it will not incur a large financial burden upon the church. We will keep the New England form of the interior, which means only cosmetic changes like carpets, new pews, ceiling painting, acoustic coverings for walls, ductwork to make the AC more efficient, refreshing the foyer to match the interior. And I approve this. The church board has made this decision to go forward in this manner. Some of you like it, some of you don't. But we need to be united together. We need to be united. And so we are united together because the spirit of Antichrist will come to divide. He will come to try to destroy the church. And we cannot have that happen. I've seen it happen in Taiwan where they had pews, but the Chinese did not want to have cushions in the pews. They wanted a piece of marble where people sit because they didn't want anybody to warm the seat that they were sitting in. How silly is that? I'd like to have a warm, comfortable seat. They want to sit on hard marble. There are many issues that divide the church today. But behind them, we have to recognize there is a spiritual war that's being battled. And often, just as a church begins an upward swing, whether it's a spiritual swing, whether it's attendance, whether it's financial, but if there's a spiritual growth that's taking place demonically, manipulations will come and try to bring strife and try to emerge within the congregation. We will not let that happen. We will not let that happen. And the spirit of Antichrist has been around for a long time. That's the reason why we must carefully defend the thoughts that are not thoughts of love, unity, grace, peace, and the wonderful thoughts of Christ that God wants to envelop us with. If we follow Jesus, we all agree to yield to Him. See, and then love follows. If we agree to just unite ourselves with Him, the love of Christ will follow us. I mentioned that the spirit of Antichrist seeks to display itself as God. It's no different than the actual manifestation of the Antichrist that sets himself up as God in the temple in the middle of the tribulation period. There are many ways the spirit, though, seeks to display itself. One of the ways it masquerades in the church is through a religious reverence for death. You see, the Antichrist conditions the church to accept the solemnity of death as though it were true reverence to God. Death is anti-life. We are for life in Christ Jesus. God's not the God of the dead, He's the God of the living. True reverence is accompanied by a great joy, a great awe, and a thanksgiving of who God is. So you can discern the spirit of Antichrist in a church when it has this reverence towards a deadness within the service. We want an atmosphere that's filled with holiness, filled with the greatness of God and the love of God and the worship of God. Sometimes when you go to a church, you can sit in there and you feel like it's hollow. You feel like you're in an empty funeral home. There's a coldness within the people. Not Bethany. Even our speaker this weekend, Kenny Luck, mentioned, and he sent me an email. He says, "This is a fabulous group of people. I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to come and minister to a group of people like this because there's great love here. See, we actually love one another. We do. That's amazing. When you look at the diversity among the group, but we love one another because of the love of Christ that's in our heart." The spirit of the Antichrist is doing what the Antichrist will do when he rebuilds the temple. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, he will oppose and he will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. And anytime the truth is unmasked, any one time you take the truth and you just reveal it to people, the spirit of Antichrist will oppose that. He will do anything he can to destroy the truth. He doesn't want anything to draw us closer to Jesus. As a body of believers, we hear it all the time that we're to become like Jesus. We're to become this body of love where people together are working together for the kingdom of God. The Antichrist wants to destroy any of that. You see, he doesn't want any of us to draw closer to Christ. And even when you want to say amen, you're sitting in the service and the pastor says something, you say, I'd love to be able to say amen, but if I do, I know there's going to be eyes. They're going to be glaring at me from every corner of the sanctuary. See? They're going to be looking at me. That's the stronghold of the enemy. Don't you let that stay in the way of a good amen. Hallelujah. Every preacher needs a good intercessor when they're standing up here. People praying while the preacher is preaching or when Kenny Luck is teaching. Because there are places and there are times when you say something and all of a sudden you can hear people say, oh, here we go again. Who does he think he is? That's the Antichrist. Intercessors, bind that spirit. And in the church, there is a freedom to preach the good news, for the gospel to go forward in power. Because the spirit of Antichrist wants to penetrate our thinking. He wants to come in and he wants to keep us from being influenced by the great penetrating spirit of the Holy Spirit to come into our life and unite us. See, this is an important season for this church. We are in a very important position at this moment at Bethany Assembly of God. It's important to us because this church is strategically located and it's not here just to bless us. It's not just about us. It's about Jesus being exalted. It's not about Bethany. We want to help every church become all it can be in Christ Jesus. The spirit of Antichrist is a world ruler. And it cannot be displaced by lesser demons. They're easier to destroy than the spirit of the Antichrist. So in the end times, what we see happening in the earth today, it's going to come against us. We need to be strong and understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand our purpose and what God has called us to be, a united church with an effort to preach the good news and to assist everyone to become all they can be in Christ Jesus. It's a powerful body of believers. And we need to be a church that's so flooded with encouraging words and people who love one another that it displaces this very spirit that's attacking the earth today and wants to attack the church. We need to see us as a body of believers that are strong and that we oppose any spirit that would divide us. This is a church filled with love, forgiveness, reconciliation, unity, and a willingness to sacrifice to become like Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heart for a moment with me? Lord, our lives have been manipulated so often, but we are grateful for the Spirit of the living God, for Christ who makes us strong. So we pray that any deception from the foul spirits of the earth will flow off of our backs like water off a duck's back. We are often swayed by issues that are false, issues that are smoke screens, masking our real need, our need to confess, Lord, that we have sin in our life, but we also have the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. Help us to become instruments of healing to our neighbors, instruments of righteousness to those that are around us. May we acknowledge Jesus in everything that we do and everything that we say. Help us to work with the Spirit of the Lord to unite the churches and to prepare the body of Christ for the coming of our Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you would help us to see the real issue. The real issue that is the battle we are in. That even in the midst of all of our diversity that we have within our congregation, that you have united us with one spirit. And we give no room for anything that is against Christ. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, as we look at the world that we're living in today, we look at all that is happening in the political realm, we look at everything that's happening, we must recognize that there is only one hope for the church. That's to find our fortress, to find the stronghold that we can find safety in. And it's the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. We're united together because of the Spirit of Christ. We're together no matter what your political affiliations are. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ. But the enemy will come in these last days. The Antichrist will come and try to divide us. But we are determined to be aggressive, and we will not allow it to happen because we have a faith that is strong and unmovable. It's in Christ Jesus we stand. So as a body of believers, as a united family of God, Lord, we need you. We need you. So today, as we stand, all of us together, with faith in our hearts, understanding the great commission you've given to us, the responsibility that you've laid upon our shoulders, we say it's too much for us, Lord, but with you, we can do all things. With you, we can do all things. Keep us united. I preach this message for those that are Christians because we're living in perilous times. And there are strongholds that want to destroy. But if you're here, you never made a commitment to Christ, that's the first step. When you take that first step and you say, I need Jesus in my life, you're going to face every kind of challenge you could imagine. And the only way you're going to be able to stand is if Christ is in your life. So this is a moment for you. I'm going to dismiss you, but if you're here and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, or the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart and saying, this is your moment. We're going to stand here. You come. We'll lead you in a simple prayer. We'll help you in this first step that you take. In the second service, we're going to see people taking that second step of obedience in baptism. We're going to have people baptized in the second service. So if you're new in Christ, or you just received Christ this morning, you might want to stick around for the second service. It's awesome to hear the testimonies. God bless you. Shake 16 hands and say, I'm going to fight that Antichrist in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been challenged and empowered. For more information about the church, go to bethany-ag.org.